His word is given to us. We have Bibles. Some of them got on our cell phones and iPods and all kind of stuff. I forget what I'm trying to say. Kindles. But we have His word with us all the time. And we want to take a moment this morning, just look back at a couple of thousand years ago, what was taking place. And I want to borrow Ryan just for a second, Ryan. Now I want to turn to the book of Matthew, the 20th chapter, verse 17. Matthew 20, verse 17. It says, as Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, He took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way, He said to them, we'll stop right there a second. Ryan can be my Jesus for a minute. Okay? I'm one of the disciples, and I'm following Jesus up to Jerusalem, man. Using terminology today, man, I hang out with my dude, man. I can't wait to get to Jerusalem, okay? And Jesus is talking. I mean, he said, and he talked to them, okay? But here I am, he's speaking to me. I'm thinking, oh man, I can't wait to get to Jerusalem. I'm telling you what, I seen this dude, man, he turned water into wine. I'm telling you what, you think about the market we got going on there, you know? I mean, I can start bottling that stuff. I mean, it won't cost me nothing. This dude's got it, man. I mean, it just, wow. And Jesus juice. JJ, wait, wow, okay. Well, I'm thinking, wow, and I see, oh man, picked a fish up, I seen a coin come out of his mouth. Oh, you talk about one world currency. Oh man, so here my heart is thinking about, man, getting down in there. We're going to take over Jerusalem. I mean, Rome is going to be gone, you know, it's going to be our currency, you know. We'll get Jesus' head and put on the coin, you know what I'm saying? And flip it over and put, you know, JJ on it, whatever, you know. So this is me. I'm thinking about this, and here's Jesus. He's trying to speak to me. He's talking to me. But, you know, my eyes is too much on myself. You know that? It's just too much on myself. So, well, Pastor, do you think they're really doing that? I'll show you in a minute what they're thinking about, okay? But this is what comes to my mind. That Jesus is, he knows he's only got 4 days to go. He knows that the Passover is coming. He knows that He's the Lamb of God. His life is going to be given up. So he's like, man, I got short time here. I'm going to pour in these folks, and we're getting ready to get to Jerusalem. I got to share a couple of things, you know. But I'm thinking about the water and the wine and the coin. Man, raising people back to life. Oh, my, I tell you what. I'll have the wine industry. I'll have the banking. I'll have the medical firms. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm going to have it all. I mean, man, I'm going to hang out with this dude. But a year from now, I'll be the fat cat, man. I'll have it all. I'll have it all. And Jesus is walking and trying to describe to me something, you know? Excuse me, Jesus. And this is the conversation that Jesus had. Verse 18. As I'm standing there thinking about wine and all this stuff, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn Him to death, and will deliver Him to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucify Him. And on the third day He will be raised up. And oh, he said, man, I'm going to Jerusalem. He's talking to me. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified, Starkey. I'm going to lay my life down. You know, but I'm going to raise it back up again. All the awesome part about being going to die and be raised up again, I'm not paying no attention. I'm thinking about myself, okay? You know, so we're going to look at ourselves today, too. When we come to Jesus, we come for ourselves. Do we come to Him? Do we come to be prosperous? I mean, what draws it? Do we really come for the right reason? But Jesus, you know, He goes on in His Word. We turn over here. Let's go to Matthew 27. 27:21. This is what He was described in the book when He said, I'm going to be crucified. He knew what was going to take place. This is Jesus, again, walking into Jerusalem, going to lay His life down for us. And what's going to take place? In chapter 27, verse 27, Jesus is arrested. And it says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. And they stripped him and they put a scarlet robe on him. And after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they kneeled down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on his head. And after they had mocked him, they took his robe off, put his garments on him, and led him away to be crucified. That's what he's getting ready to do. That's what he's got his time with his followers, the disciples. And he's talking yesterday, "This is what I did for you," he says. "This is what I did for you." Amen? He didn't say, "Follow me in Jerusalem, I'm going to get you a mansion down here, I'm going to buy you a new car," okay? Now, this can be a blessing he gives us, but he says this, "I'm going to lay my life down, I'm going to take your place of your death." Isn't it awesome? Yeah, but he's trying to explain this. But look what he says here. Let's go over here to number 3 here. I'm going to go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16:24. Bring all this stuff here together. You know, this is what he shared with you and I today. It's the same thing. He speaks to us today. And in Matthew 16, verse 24 and 27, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." John 15. Let's go to John 15 a minute. So we have a lot of things here we can look at today that maybe they didn't quite have a handle on. They didn't quite understand, but we do. We have a greater understanding now. But John 15, verse 18. And he's talking to his followers, guys. Talking to his followers. He says, "If the world hates you, you know that has already hated me. If you were of the world, the world will love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Let's read that out loud together. "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Man, he sounds upfront. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to turn your back on the world, I want nothing to do with this sinful world. I want Jesus. And when you do that, you draw that line in the sand and you say, "No more of this stuff, no more." And people are going to turn away from you, and everything else talk to you. Your family member had nothing to do with you. They think you're radical, that, man, you're insane. Hey, listen, I don't mind coming to church. I'll sit behind them in a chair for a half an hour or so. But by gosh, don't go over an hour, okay? You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to back out in the world. I'll do things the way I want to. Because you're just too darn radical for me. You know what I'm saying? Well, I hate to tell you this, but Jesus Christ is radical for you. Amen? And today it's all Him or nothing. Don't pour yourselves. Don't step in the hell and say, "Oh, I didn't know. It's everything. You cannot have the things of the world in your life and expect you're going to heaven. Understand that? But He told us up front. You don't follow Jesus, they're going to persecute you. Think of that. I just think you're too radical. I don't know why you don't laugh at my jokes anymore. Why don't you go party with us anymore?" He said, "Why? I found Jesus. I realized, man, the sin in my life was taking me to hell. It separated me from my God." And when half the people turn away from anyway, when you don't say the right thing, when you're honest with somebody, tell them the truth. And they don't want to talk to you no more? They don't like the truth? When you share out of love of people, share the truth of the gospel. But folks, we got to make sure that we know the truth. We got to know what it really says. You know, I share many times, it is so watered down in so many places anymore. Jesus hasn't changed. He came to pay the penalty of our sins. And He tells us up front, this is going to take place. Sometimes, many times we keep our mouth shut too much. When it comes to Jesus. And we're not supposed to do that. We try to be politically correct. Or, nah. We can find all the excuses. But the first thing is, we have to surrender our life to the Master. Totally. And He told us, they're going to hate you, they're going to persecute you. Oh, man. But you know what? He said, hang in there. Hang in there to the end. You'll be rescued. He's pouring His heart out. You know, He even tells us this. It's documented here in Galatians. Brother Paul shares this with us. He says in Galatians 2:20. If you want to jump there, I'll wait for you. This is where our life needs to be, folks. This is true discipleship, true following Jesus. Galatians 2:20. And Paul says, you know what? I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes from the law, then Christ died needlessly. Crucified with Christ. We'll be jumping around a couple more places here. So if you mark it down, you can follow me. Luke 14:26. Now Jesus is talking to every one of us in here. But I say, hey, who wants to go to heaven? Woohoo! Who's hanging out with Jesus? You know, one thing we'll be doing in heaven, what we just did here for just for a little bit. Praising Him, worshiping Him. Amen? Think about that, you know. We have concerns of the world. Some people might be sitting, man, preacher, I could be at work at 11:30. If I don't get to work, I'll be fired. Well, folks, go to work. Amen? Understand that, okay? But the thing is, if you're sitting here and say, man, I wish you'd shut up. You know, oh, man, I've heard enough already. We sang two songs. Let's get out here. Folks, hang out with Jesus more because you're getting in your spirit that you never, ever want to leave. We got to force ourselves to go somewhere, amen? That's what it is inside. Man, you know, some of us, we can wait 2 hours to get into a ball game. Being His presence, I mean, you felt the presence of God here again today. You guys worship Him and loving Him. Amen. And if you're not quite there yet, hanging with Jesus, you will be. Amen. I mean, I didn't like the Cleveland Brown the first time I met him. Okay? But hanging around, so my pity and my heart for them, I started liking them. You know what I'm saying? But hanging out with Jesus, I know I need more of you. I need you. My life is upside down. I don't really understand this, but I'm going to listen. Speak to me, Lord. And that's how you start hearing. And as it starts changing your life. Wow. Someday I'll have my podium right there. Luke 14. This is the Master. Luke is a doctor. He wrote this down. He said, what'd you say, Jesus? As He said it, Luke wrote it down. He said, now listen, if anybody wants to come to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. That's pretty heavy, right? When we first hear that. But we step back a little bit, and what He's saying, oh, I didn't tell you guys where I'm at. Did I tell you? Oh, verse 26. Well, keep going. You're fine. 26, right after 25. But what He's saying, folks, when He uses the word hate, Today means you want to beat somebody up, okay? But hate means love less, what it means. Understand that. So he's saying, if anyone comes to me and doesn't love me more than his father, his mother, his wife, and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple, he's saying. So what he's saying is, the number one love in our heart has to be Jesus. Amen. We love our family. Yes, we do. We do. My wife loves me. I love my children. But my greatest love is for God, Yahweh. And if anyone would ever come and try to separate that from me, if my son come to me and say, Dad, if you keep going to church, I'm never going to speak to you again. Well, son, I love you, man. I'll be praying for you. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I know you don't understand that right now. I'm not giving up. God, Yahweh, Yeshua, whatever name you want to lay with them, is the only hope I have and the only hope that you have. If I walk away from the Lord, there's no hope for anybody in my family if I'm the only one that knows Jesus. My heart's going to break. He won't associate with me. But I'd rather have a little bit of friction right now and have eternity with him being born again in heaven than to hang out with him and go on fishing and watching the ball games and stuff and take him to hell. You know? And that's love. That's what Jesus is. You know, that's what he's demonstrating to us. The stuff that's going on. He loved us so much, he allowed himself to be made fun of and persecuted and beat up and stuff to love for us. He had to hurt him. Said, man, don't you understand what I'm doing? Don't you understand that I'm giving my life up? I'm in the Lamb of God. No longer you got to take your sheep and your goats and your... No. I am the Lamb of God. I'm laying my life down for you to redeem you. Can you get that through your thick head? I never heard Jesus say that, did you guys? I got a lot of translations, but there's none of them. No. He knew that we didn't understand. Yeah, well, someday they will. Someday they will. I never understood my wife went to church all the time. I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, my land sakes. You got a month of Sundays already done. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. But man, once I got born again, wow. I got excited when it was church night. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's just something inside of me. Sometimes you can't make it to church. We've all been there. But your heart is, I mean, we are the church, you know. I mean, you get up in the morning, oh man, read my Bible this morning, you get excited, right? You're talking to Jesus. We are the body here coming together. But the church is everywhere. And wherever we go, we are the church. Remember that, folks, okay? Amen. But he knew, I gotta explain to you, you gotta love me the most. And maybe we're here today, man, I love you, Lord, but I don't really have you that far up. Get into his word more. And understand him. Just draw closer to God. Show me more. I want to love you more than anything. And man, he will. He will. And that's how we fall in love with each other, isn't it? I fell in love with my wife. Well, the first day I met her, I told her, I didn't tell her about this. I'm going to marry her. But day by day, my love grew more and more and more. You know, I loved her then. I love her more now. And most people can say that after years of marriage, you know. And did Marty hit Chuck back here? Okay, I wasn't sure. But he says, you hang in there, Jesus, about down here again. Well, what king? He said, verse 31. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Verse 28 of the same chapter, 26. For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or, verse 31, what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his possessions. Wow. Think of that. You have to give up all your possessions to Jesus. He just said that, right? Does Jesus lie? Jeffrey, get a bucket and ground and collect everybody's stuff for me. What he is saying is, okay, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. You know? You know what Jesus let me do today, Fred? He let me drive his truck to church today. He lets me live in his house. I'm going to eat his food in a little bit. It all belongs to him. You know, if he tells me tomorrow, okay, Starkey, take that truck and give it to somebody, I'll give it to him if the Lord leads me that way, because it's his truck. See, sometimes we read that and think, oh man, I get ready to check for all my money in the bank, you know, $12.20. No, he's saying our attitude, okay, Lord, this is all yours. What do you want to do with it? Okay, I want you to hang on to it. I want you to enjoy it, but I'll show you what to do with it from time to time. Now, doesn't it make more sense? You know, he told the rich guy that, you know, what you got to do? You know, I never broke a commandment, which we knew that wasn't true, but he told Jesus that. So what you got to be saved? I never broke a commandment. He says, well, you're very rich. To sell all your property. Give it to the poor and follow me. He said, you walked away because he was very rich. What was Jesus saying? Just give me everything you got. Hang on to me, you know. And I'll show you what to do with it. And I'm telling you what. We all can testify, most of us, you cannot outgive God. But give, he gives back, you know. As he says, as you take care of the poor, it's like lending to him. And folks, there's two types of poor people. People who are poorer than me, and then me who I am poorer than other people. Amen? So I always choose to hang out with one that's not as poor as I am. No. That's what he's talking for us to do. Okay. So all this stuff, he's sharing this. Again, let's go back to walking to Jerusalem again. Okay, hanging out, Jesus is speaking to me again. What did he just say? Oh, he's talking to people, hey, listen, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to lay my life down, I'm going to be crucified, all this stuff, okay? So, with all that, knowing all this stuff is going to take place, we go back into the book of Matthew for a second. Let's go back to the book of Matthew 21, verse 1. It's funny, we attended a couple of churches, served out of state a couple of times. And they might have the right thing. I was thinking about today. They'd have a gathering, have praise and worship. Then they'd take a 15-minute break. Because we all had to go to the bathroom. Then we came back, yeah. That's just part of getting matured, right? Amen. But Matthew 21, let me make sure I get there where you guys are at, okay? Yeah, I want to back up a little bit. Sorry, guys. Matthew 20, verse 20. I got ahead of myself. Sorry. Now, Jesus, again, 19 and verse 18, now behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. I'm walking with Jesus. And the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will deliver him to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucify him. And on the third day he will raise them up. He just poured his heart out to him. He said, then the mother of sons of Zebedee, and that's going to be James and John, came to him with her sons, bowing down and making a request. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit one on your right and sit one on your left. Right away, I mean, he just poured his heart out what's going to be taking place. She said, okay, here's my sons. Here's my son. Jesus, here, give her, I'm going to borrow you a second. Here's my son. Listen, make sure that one of them sits on the left and one sits on the right, okay? Make sure in your kingdom, you know, because we're walking through Jerusalem. We're headed down. And we're going to be sitting there before too long. So make sure that they get to sit beside you, okay? I mean, the heart isn't, I'm going to be crucified. We just read what took place. And she's thinking about her kids. Not thinking about Jesus. And we just read with, hey, you got to love Jesus. More your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. I mean, moms, I know you always watch out for your kids, right? And maybe her idea was, get them out of the household. Get them out of the house, let them sit down with you, okay? But see, she had her eyes on other things. And folks, we can do the same thing. And we hear about the Master, about Jesus being born again, forgiven for her sins. And we think of all this cool stuff that we can have and get. But the number one thing is that we get to be crucified and persecuted like Jesus. because we have come out of the world. We just realized how hatred the world was towards Jesus. Now, we were part of that world. Oh, we didn't know then. I don't think we did. I didn't know that, man. I thought it was okay. You know what I'm saying? Thanks. You have a seat there. I'll pick on you later on. Thank you. You made a good James. But, you know, for most of us, hey, we worked. We paid our bills. Supported our kids. You know, whatever we had going on in our life, we did that. But, man, the things we've done with the extra change and extra time we had, man, we were rocking hell and not knowing it. Thinking we was okay with the master. But man, somewhere along the line, when we had a wake-up call and realized, man, any type of lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping, all that, fornicating, whatever it might be, that's sin. And the wages of that sin, look how terrible it was, separated from God now for eternity. Somewhere along the line, we got, boom, we should have ran there just like that, boom. And if we look at the description of what Jesus went through on the crucifixion, that's our sin debt. That's our debt. We had to pay that. Amen? And Jesus did it for us. He said, listen, receive me as your Savior and Lord. Turn away from your sin. Invite me into your life, okay? All that is under the blood. Now follow me. He said, follow me. But don't step back into it again. You know? And I think that's part of what goes on anymore. I'm getting hot. Is that we stepped out of sin at one time. We stepped out from the consciousness of sin. And we got to the point where, wow, I can still sin and still be a Christian. And folks, we cannot purposely sin and continue to walk with the Master. We're going to sin. Don't get me wrong. We're going to make some dumb decisions, okay? You may have purposely sinned because of the decision you made, then you regretted it. Amen? Okay? Your heart was like, oh man. You repented from it, right? I hope so, okay? But when we purposely sin and we purposely stay in sin, that's a whole different story. Amen? We got to wipe our shoes off and get away from that. You going to gossip me all the time about somebody? Sorry, you're not coming over. Okay? And folks, please, hear my heart. I shared before, get off of Facebook. Don't get on there and tell me how bad your husband was last night or your kid or this or whatever. Call me on the phone. We're going to pray together, okay? Otherwise, you're causing people to gossip. But that's not of the Lord. It's so easy to sin anymore. Talk about people. Complain about people. Stop it. I don't tell you that. The Lord says. Because, guys, we are in the world. We're living for Jesus, right? How in the world can you convince your neighbor to come to Jesus if you're degrading them on Facebook? Amen? Please hear the cry of the Lord. Wow, I didn't think about that. We've all been there, right? You stroll down, oh, let's see what Gail's doing today. Oh, Jeff did this. Oh, Jeff. Oh, I'm just picking on you. She's not doing this, okay? Jeff stayed in bed all day. I cleaned the laundry. I mowed the grass. Tomorrow morning, oh, this is who Jeff got into today. That is no different than me coming over and say, hey, tell me what's going on. In a complaining mode, okay? You can come talk to your pastor about anything. But it's so easy to get wrapped up in it, right? So but we got to wean ourselves off of that. I don't say wean it. We got to recognize it and stop that. Because what he says, like, everything out of our mouth comes to uplift people, you know? And so if you find yourself in that circle, get away from it, you know? If someone's heart's pouring out, there's scripture in there. So this is what the Lord says. But folks, I mean, I see people get on and they complain about other businesses in town. I went to this place and I sat there for 45 minutes and they were very rude and distant. Seriously? I mean, if it really bothers you, call up the business. Hey, listen, your people need some better training going on. I went through an order of cheeseburger, waited a half hour to get home, and I had a fish tail sandwich with ketchup. You know, share that with them. Don't get wrapped up in the things of the world. You know, we just need to get away from that. Let everything from our mouth be something that's going to glorify the Lord and encourage people, you know. Like Papa used to say, you know, if you have nothing good to say about somebody, no, you always want to say it loud and clear. No. But again, God's word is always there to help us, you know. He's always molding his image, you know. So he's always, from time, he's going to show us things that we're involved with. Oh man, I didn't recognize that. That's because he loves us. Amen? That's awesome. But we go back, and again, they were thinking more about themselves. I want my son here, I want my son there. And we all want the best things for our children, our children's children. I know that. But first thing we have to do is recognize why the Master came, what he did for us, to honor him, you know. Thank you, Jesus. About 4 more minutes. Hang in there with me. Okay, well, come on. In verse 22, she just asked Jesus for her son, which is James and John, to be, hang out with him on the throne. And Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." Now, they didn't quite know what they were getting into, right? Now, we'll see in history that, boy, they did they not? Amen. And all the same way, you know. We're going to close here in a minute, but we're going to close, have a praise and worship meeting, just share a song with us. And those who, from your seats, want to recommit our lives to the Lord, just say, hey, yeah, I didn't recognize all this stuff, you know. Just give our life over to Jesus again, you know. Because he's saying these things will happen to us. But man, especially these days and age, I mean, the world is going to hate you more and more for loving Jesus. But the world needs you more than ever before. I truly believe that. Our children, they need to see people standing up truly for what the Lord teaches, you know, and not wavering out of love. Not giving in to society, okay? They need mommies and daddies and grandpas and grandmas and aunts and uncles. Even neighbors. They just... to truly have Jesus in the center of their life. And if we do that, we will be persecuted. But aren't you glad that Jesus went through the persecution? Aren't you glad that he went to the cross to bring us salvation? Amen. I mean, 3 days raised from the ground. He's in heaven today. I know he's glad he went through it for us. And we'll have the same in our life, Father. Folks, as we surrender our life to the Father and to the Son and follow them, and we get persecuted. But just for a very small time, because he's coming back very, very soon. And verse 23 says, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit on the right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom he has been prepared by the Father." And hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the 2 brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of Gentiles lord over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." He came to serve others, and that's what he called us to do, to serve others in all that we do. You know, every day he says to crucify ourselves, to pick up our cross. And you know, this is a nail that they would have used on Jesus. And can you imagine if I took this right now to crucify myself, put it in there and took a hammer and beat that to my... I'm not going to do it. But you know how much pain that would call it? I mean, if I was going to do that, look at how much determination that would be to do that. He wants to have that same determination, but he's not calling anybody here to go crucify yourself in the flesh. Understand that? He's talking about spiritually and for our physical desires. But Jesus allowed folks to put that in his hands and his feet to give his life up for us. and wants us to have the same attitude for other people, willing to, if I can say, be thick-skinned, where we understand when people come against us, it's the spirit within them coming against the spirit of Christ in us, and not to take it so personal. And just know that when somebody comes against you, oh, there's somebody the Master wants me to pray for. There's somebody that maybe He wants me to witness to, or maybe bless them, you know? The Lord will lead you on that. But He would enter Jerusalem, and they would be praising Him, and they would be using these palm branches, you know? And He would stop right before He entered Jerusalem. And the shortest verse in the Bible, you all know what that is? Jesus wept. Because they didn't quite understand yet what was going to take place. So, amen.